This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number, yes, it's a new number, 855-752-4842. Even for producer Knight, it's a new number, 855-752-4842. We've been putting that out there all this week. Hopefully you've written it down. Johnny Lupinacci, I got to ask you a question. Have you downloaded the Civic Media app yet?
Oh, yeah, man. I love the Civic Media app. Makes it so much easier to just tune into the other shows, get a listen, get a sense of what's going on, and then, you know, always be able to kind of see our episodes as they pop up after, because, you know, these are all recorded and you can get at them podcast version afterward, which is always really nice. But Tim, who writes down phone numbers anymore? I mean, they punch it into call us once, have it in your phone, save it 855-75-CIVIC or 855-752-4842. Save it in your phone and give us a call. We love callers.
Yeah, and we love the callers. You say Civic Media app, whether you are on an Android type of phone or an Apple phone, just go to your app store, download that Civic Media app. It's nothing. It's free. You can have it, and therefore, and as we always remind, we have listeners in Finland who love the Civic Media
app. All over the place, man.
All over the place. But we got to always give our shout out to Got to give that special shout out, though, to the friends in Finland. Hey, got people in Finland, we love and appreciate everything you guys do. Johnny, Friday, TGIBP. Thank goodness it's Busted Pencils on Friday. Yep. Here we are, man. What is this, third week now? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. People are listening and going, I think I hear these guys on every night of the week. You're right. You're not in a really crazy, wild fantasy dream. It's the truth. It's Tim and Johnny every night of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, it's us. But, you know, good week here, Johnny. Highlight of the week for you.
I don't even know how to pick one. I think if I had to pick one, you know, it would be just how much fun it was to lay out core democratic values on Tuesday. Man, that was just so fun to do, because so often we talk about, you know, public education and we always do, but you know, so many times, Tim, we catch ourselves saying you don't really have a strong democracy unless you have a strong public education system, and that public education is the bedrock of democracy. In a sense, it's training camp, it's the minor leagues, it's where we develop as citizens. So if you think about when you're an adult, that you're a pro-level citizen in your civic duty, right? Mm-hmm. That's the goal. Schools are where you get all that experience. And oftentimes, you know, we're talking last week about celebrating public education and, more importantly, celebrating the advocacy necessary, because for so many children, teachers, and their families, schools aren't just underfunded, but they've cut back on essential parts of a good education. You know, we've talked about cutting back on the arts and cutting back on PE and field trips and, you know, experiences that,
and remind everybody, Johnny, too, those are the essentials you're talking about. I mean, people have referred to those as special things. It's like, no, music, art, field trips, you name it, you know. Yeah, we shouldn't be voting to fund essentials. Well,
And then we had another big highlight this week, Tim, because we had so many amazing things. We had Dr. Ethan Siegel on Monday. You know, you and I got to really dig into how, when we say that democracy is so important, that, you know, we the people are the government, and public education is where we learn to be those active people that constitute the government. And so, you know, we had a really great show this week, too, where we had Educator Amplified teacher Joanna. You know, always love having Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie, because they, you know, help us kind of have that dialogue that's so important about what's happening in terms of the experiences that teachers have, that really, really masterful educators that are compassionate and caring have in the classrooms and in their communities. And while we were on that call, we got an amazing call from, you know, CJ, who disagrees on a lot of things with us, but we kind of came to the ground that included in those essentials, Tim, are what we learn, not only being, you know, this wild idea that education is only for going on to college.
Because only for college, only going on to academics, right?
You know, CJ reminded us too, and we had a great conversation, and we've been having it since then, about how important also the trades are and where have they gone? Where has that learning gone in our schools? I mean, since that show, I've talked to a handful of folks who also, you know, said, hey, you know, I teach X, Y, or Z. And it's common that a lot of young people who are picking up a trade haven't learned what fractions are in school, haven't learned how to read a tape measure, haven't learned how to do a lot of those, I will call them essential skills, Tim, again. So I love that, because included in with like art and all like music and the importance of that being part of a well-rounded education, it's also the reality stuff, the stuff that helps us be functioning on our jobs and in our homes and in our neighborhoods, you know, and so the trades are part of that too. Like
vocational literacy, I think you're talking about financial literacy, all of these things, you know, we've got it here. We're going forward here. LA Tom. Oh man. He's always jumping in and giving us a call. LA Tom is on the line. What's happening, Tom?
Hey guys. First off, we, the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that the corporations are not the government. We are, and we must fight, most importantly, to get money out of politics, because that's how we restore government completely back to we the people. An absolute incredible oratory last night by President Biden. President Biden, it wasn't just a, hey, we're great. It was talking about policy. It was a speech that was filled with policy inside and out. And I love that. I love the fact that he started off talking about FDR and actually talking about FDR, because that's something the Democratic Party seems to forget about. And he appealed to everyone. It didn't matter if it was Republican or Democratic. And, you know, there's some people out there that get confused when I say we the people are the government. Is because they think I'm saying that as a Democrat. I'm not. I'm saying that as all of us. We are all in this together. That includes the Republican voters out there. It's just reminding us that, you know what? It's not the people in Washington, and it's not the corporations. It's us. We're the government. We're the people that have got to be able to put the input in to make this a better place to live. And look at the return on investment of education. I do think that we need to break it down, like I talked about before, in terms of how much is it to run the football program for each person. I would also like to say, I am trying to talk fast, guys, because I'm not trying to monopolize everything here.
No, you're good. You're good, Tom. We love when you call. It's Friday. Let it rip, Tom. We love it.
There is a billboard here in California that I've seen when I walk around. That's the California that O.C. Eric lives in. We call him Orange County Eric around here. That's running against Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin. I see this billboard, and it says school, $9,100. I guess that's been updated to $16,000. Prison. Yeah. $62,300. So when we're having this topic earlier, and one of your callers called in and said, oh my God, we spend $16,000 per student. Well, let's find out how much we actually spend on one prisoner that we could be actually investing in the kids so they don't end up in a prison, a public prison, or a quote unquote private prison. And see what the difference is in the investment that we make into kids. I'd much rather spend $62,000 a year on a kid and them not have so many prisoners that we only spend $9,000 or $16,000 on the prisoners in the jails. That would be a really nice trade-off if we were to think about it in that way. And Joe Biden said last night, Let's give the public education teachers a raise.
Yeah, I was going to ask Tom. I was going to ask you, like, did you hear him talk about putting out, you know, the idea that public school teachers need a raise? Yes, he put it out there. My question, or not even a question, it's like, I love that he said that. I really, though, and it's one, you know, one of the things we always know here is that the majority of funding, and even that means comes from teacher salaries, going to come from the state and from local taxes. But the federal government has the ability to step in there and potentially, you know, put down some money that brings certain teacher salaries up to a point where people can make a living. When you're hearing about teachers who can't afford housing because of becoming a teacher, that's a problem. So I applaud President Biden for, yeah, calling it out, making sure that we understand that teachers need a raise. Lot of, you know, a couple other things too. And LA Tom, love when you call. Happy Friday. Keep the weather out in California that you're having out there. It's, you know, the way it is right here, you know, the Wisconsin, you know, Ohio, wherever we're, anybody else, hey, even in Finland. It's, you know, it's getting to be a real nice time out here. The number is 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Johnny, so LA Tom jumped into it, and I was going to say,
I can tell you, you got the money there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is research. I've made this comparison before, and this is some research. It's a few years old now, but it hasn't gotten much different. I'd love to do the update on it. But the last I checked in Wisconsin, you know, our caller CJ called in and shared it was around $16,000 per pupil. And that's rough because we can figure out a little bit here or there around that. But let's say we're spending on average $16,000 per pupil to, you know, to educate a child in public education per year. It's $38,644 per year to keep a person in prison in Wisconsin. $38,000 versus $16,000. LA Tom, thanks for bringing that up, man. It is true. No matter where you are, the wise investment is in public education, the early intervention. It's a cost savings. It's also value added to our democracy.
Absolutely. You know what would be interesting here too, Johnny, and I'm sure we could do this and get the diggers out there. You know, the amount of money, as you say, how much money do we put in and then result in that ability to keep people not just out of prison, but productive citizens. It's an investment up front. And needs to say, if it's going to cost more than $16,000, let's do it. That's what we are doing here. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Friday Week in Review. And when we get back, we're going to talk more about the State of the Union. See you in a second. Yeah. Yes, there it is. Friday night, producer Nate's in the house. Signature right there. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Yeah, you know what we're going to do, Johnny. Rise above, man. That's what we're going to do. 855-752-4842 is the number. 855-752-4842. Friday night, Week in Review. Also, President Biden, but hey, phone caller right away. Cam from Nina is on the line. Cam, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Hey, doing we're great. Doing all right, man. It's a Friday night. How, you know? So what's happening in your world, man?
In the direct moment, as I was waiting to call in, I'm playing a game, right? And this person joins my lobby, and their name is Betsy DeVos. And I send them a message, and I said, why that name? It folded me. And they said, because Sean Spicer was taken. So I don't know who I'm playing with anymore. The other thing is that you guys mentioned, like, the prison system and stuff. And while I have never been through the prison system, I am a little familiar with some of the people that come out of it and then they pick up some of the labor intensive jobs. Maybe some of CJ actually might be able to touch on this a little bit. And I usually disagree with the guy on a lot of topics, but I do agree that trade knowledge is really, really important and just as valuable as some of the college educations that you can get out there. When these prison systems spit people back out, they lack these skills. And I think there are some programs that these companies, like the factory companies near Milwaukee, they entered these programs where I think they're getting money for taking in ex-convicts to mm-hmm. get them hired on to do work there. And it creates an incredibly toxic work culture where it's driving out people that have already worked there and they're working there without like prior prison sentences or anything like that, right? Like that was just their job, but now it's a job with people that came out of prison. And it's not like they shouldn't get a fair chance, but when you're dumping people out just straight away and they will take any chance to look at you funny, I don't know. Like, I don't know how valuable these programs are, you know?
It's a, you know, I hear what you're saying. I'm going to be more on the side of saying some form of a connection, a prison to work and creating that contribution to a citizen and bringing that. I mean, there's merit there. I know Johnny Lupinacci agrees with me in recognizing that, you know, one of the biggest predictors of going back to jail is, again, not having a job, not having the ability to take care of yourself independently after, you know. And so the reality is that if we want to keep people out of prison, we have to give the ability for people to reclaim. And a lot of the reclaiming is through job reentry programs. And Cam, though, pointing out the other side of potentially going, you know, what if the workplace I used to be in, I kind of liked, and now we're starting to have these other people showing up, does that then, you know, encourage me to leave my job or something like that? Johnny, I don't know. What are your thoughts there, man?
Tim, I like this call because it's not a either or here. It's a complex issue. And Cam, thanks for bringing it up, because one of the reasons why we are talking about that argument to invest more in public education as an early intervention strategy to reducing the amount of people who end up in the prison system or incarcerated. And because there's also the reality that our prisons, I'm an abolitionist, so like I know I'm going to be way far left and radical on this. I mean, like I would like to see almost no prisons. But at the same time, I understand, like, I'm going to put that position I have a little bit on pause and just say, I would for sure like a reduced amount of people in our prison system, because the way our prisons are is not only unjust, but it is trauma that people who are incarcerated go through. So Cam is also bringing up this point of like, so reentry and education, which is part of that, is absolutely important. He noted, like, I know these programs are really important, but they're also, you know, they also are risky, right? And they also, they're not as simple as just, hey, let's take a whole bunch of people who absolutely deserve a pathway to the most normal, and I put some quotes around that, normal, but the most normal life they can have as a productive citizen, right? And so we want those programs, but yet just to place them and not think about the impact they'll have on the workforce and neighborhood is also a factor. And so having these conversations are so important. Cam, thanks for calling. All part of the education system. Love hearing you throw shout out to Trade Knowledge, but we got Mark on the line. Let's get Mark on before we go to break, Tim. Let's get him.
Mark from the SAC. What's happening, Mark?
Yeah, thanks, guys. And thinking about this, that my mother actually had gone to 2 years of teacher's college up in Northland College in Ashland before she married my dad. And, started having us kids and raising us some far northern Wisconsin. And I can't remember how young I was when I got my first chemistry set for my, you know, for Christmas, as a Christmas present. And before that, even, I was building model cars. And at one point in time, I was big into Estes model rockets, which required me using an X-Acto knife and a ruler and probably semi-hazardous, you know, materials in some cases. In the case of the plastic model cars, of course, the glue.
I was going to say, I'm like, Mark, were you sniffing the glue, man?
No, it never really got into sniffing the glue. Didn't like the smell.
Okay,
of it.
Just but it, I know.
I remember those models. I had those Estes models.
But I also building the model cars, and that. And at one point in time, I had a Mattel Vacuform, which I think I may have talked about before. You'd heat up. It had a little heat plate where you heat up little sheets of plastic, then flip them over, and then, you know, vacuum down the sheet of plastic over a mold you'd put on the where they drew the vacuum, and then got into the creepy crawlers and thing maker stuff that using the plastic goop. And that's part of education too. I mean that learning how to handle materials, and that and of course being a Cub Scout, you had your Cub Scout knife and you're whittling stuff then and measuring stuff out to build the requirements to get your merit badges
But Mark, I think more of that too. I was going to say, yeah, I mean, what I hear you saying is that, you know, we particularly educators amplified on Wednesday night, teacher Joanne and teacher Halliday, realizing too, to remind us constantly that schooling education is not just academic math and literacy. And as you're pointing out, you know, whether it's playing, using models, to use an X-Acto knife, to use glues, to use materials, that a fully funded essential public schooling would take every one of those as saying it's absolutely a necessity for a citizen to not just be numerically and alphabetically literate, but to actually have all of these skills, because being a problem-solving person with the ability to know how to do certain other things, the other part is it just makes you a much better comprehensive citizen. Busted pencils. Yeah, you know, being, and Johnny, I see you there, being creative and being a maker. And we see this, yeah, doing the makers, man. Let's bring this in. When people talk about STEM, let's talk about STEAM. And let's not talk about these things as special. It's essential. Busted pencils, fully leaded. 855-752-4842. See you back in a little bit longer there. Again, 855-752-4842. And Johnny, you know what our friends are saying. Rise above, man. Rise above. Man.
Love the black flag.
It kills me not to know this, but I've all but just forgotten what the color of her eyes were, and her scars, or how she got them.
Ah, man. We don't want you to have any scars. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Number 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Yes, that's a new number. Lock it into the memory so it's always there and you can just call right away. Great callers, L.A. Tom, Mark from the SAC, Cam from Nina, all of a sudden. And Johnny, though, President Biden, we just got to bring it up, last night, State of the Union, talking about, you know, so the State of the Union is, I don't know, whatever he said, you know. But from the public education standpoint, you know, the K-12 dive, the news source that we typically cite in Busted Pencils, Biden State of the Union headline, high quality tutoring is in, book bans are out. That's the headline. President Joe Biden once again called for raising teacher pay, restoring the expanded child tax credit, implementing universal preschool, sounding the same themes on education policy during his State of the Union speech on Thursday night that he had in previous annual addresses to Congress. There were some other things he made mention in there. And Johnny, I told you during the break, though, I'm going to take the president to task in calling out for high quality tutoring summer school to address COVID learning loss to make sure all kids are reading by third grade, because I'm just like, no, that cannot be the lead. Learning loss. How often have we talked about on this show going, the only thing that was lost during COVID was community, family members, all these things, the learning that occurred, the idea of high impact tutoring. Wait a minute. You want to get kids on track by third grade? Great. Then make sure full funding of, and this is where I say, universal preschool, fully funded all day kindergarten that is rich in arts, rich in music, rich in play, all of those things. Let's invest the money there. Please don't invest the money on literacy and numeracy tutoring, put the money in the essentials. And yes, the teachers are prepared to teach kids literacy and numeracy. We got to drop the learning loss. Don't, you know, when the president brings that up, it just plays to that academics only, and we only care about reading and math. I get a little bit tired of it now, because as the Democrats, this is the key Democrat go-to issue. They're always about raising student achievement, which typically results in some form of, you know, really crappy scripted tutoring that really only benefits corporations, again, that are out there providing the curriculum and the high stakes testing. This just keeps status quo in place. And sorry, President Biden, not an election issue for me, and for I think most people who really, really, really care about high quality, democratic, impactful public education.
Yeah, Tim, I mean, we could talk about this part, you know, until we're blue in the face, and you and I got a lot of hot air, so that's a long time talking, but we can summarize it just how you did in terms of that was just validation of what we already know in terms of the Biden administration's interest in the privatization of education. And what I mean by that is the economic growth that we need in our communities that ought to be in local, like, trades, industries, and diverse economies. You know, that part of his State of the Union, that way he addressed education, is just a little ad for those markets that were created by defunding public education. We don't actually need more services to provide tutoring in schools. We need stronger schools. We don't need to create spending for our schools. That's what that does. Oh, we're behind. Actually, students are not behind. And as, like, we'll come back to, like, our callers are validating, you know, CJ brought it up, but, you know, it's just part of the common discourse now when we're talking about education, is like anything that's, we're not behind, we're actually lacking in the quality of what we can provide in schools because we're underfunded. So when President Biden says something about, you know, learning loss and we need more of these programs, all those programs do is cost our schools more money. And that's what that is all about, that ad. Now, I do love the idea of universal preschool. That's been something. And he did, you know, L.A. Tom called in at the beginning and reminded that, you know, Biden did reference FDR. And if we think about something really important from FDR, Second Bill of Rights, we can do a whole show on that later. Second Bill of Rights. It was also something that Obama was a big fan of, that we didn't quite see come to fruition under any president of recent. But the Second Bill of Rights, you know, one of the huge campaigns is that public education ought to be able to head off, if not tackle, most conditions created by living in poverty, right? And to eliminate the experience of being in poverty in this country, and that public schools would be at the forefront of that, all-inclusive ability, free at the point of access. Again, that's not free. It costs money, but free at the point of access. So every kid has access to a universalized, you know, quality public education system. So to hear preschool, I'm like, okay, cool. That's not new.
No.
And it doesn't surprise me either, because I think what we would rather hear is we're working towards universal, free at the point of access education for all. That includes Cam's point tonight. That includes for prisoners, for people who are incarcerated, for people who are reentering the workforce, change of career. That includes higher education. That includes high school, middle school, elementary school, and preschool. We know that the biggest bang for the buck is early intervention. But if after that it drops off and it starts costing money to get a good education, we're losing out.
So we extend
that. I expect to hear that from candidates, extending it all the way through. Right.
Lifelong learning is what I'm hearing you saying, though, and recognizing that. But Johnny, one thing you pointed out too, though, I want to make this pivot to FDR because the connection is there, and realizing this. But, you know, in linking it up to President Biden, you know, we need all this tutoring so that by third grade, you know, we've heard this in different ways. The third grade reading guarantee, if all kids have to be reading on grade level by third grade. And to get us there, we're going to invest in all this, as you said, money that actually isn't going to go to the schools. It's going to have the schools dish it out to providers to actually try to make up the what they're calling the loss or the gap for students who can't read a grade level. You know what? You really, really, really want to provide a third grade reading guarantee. Johnny, you pointed it out. An investment in poverty reduction is your best guarantee on a third grade reading ability. Not investing millions of dollars in kindergarten, first and second grade in, quote, high impact tutoring in summer school. Early, as you say, preschool, which is one of those war on poverty things, but early on, universal access to healthcare for children, universal food rights for children, you know, recognizing that ability to say most of these, quote, learning difficulties or things that show up in third grade as deficits are typically really just an indicator. Remember our guest, Dr. Chris Tankin, saying these are really indicators of the social conditions in which kids come out of, not indicators of the quality of teaching, not indicators of the quality of learning, not indicators of the quality of the kids, but indicators of the quality of the care that we've provided to kids before they've taken these tests.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, while we're diving into it, because it's related directly to education, tangent to, but related to it. If you're going to cite FDR and you're going to go down that path, then bring human rights and children's rights into the center of it.
Thank you.
And this is exactly like great. A raise for teachers. How about across the board? You know, people who are working need to be able to make more. Right. And I know that sets off. That's a dog whistle for.
Dude, you sound like a socialist.
Yeah. But, you know, I think we do need to think about that the cost of living has increased beyond the point where people who are in essential jobs, and I'll say like that's teachers, that's nurses, that's plumbers, that's electricians. These are care and important trade works in our communities. Yes, I said it. Even though you go to college to become a teacher, it is a trade and it's an important craft. And so, you know, it's really important to raise the wages of that so that folks can continue to do that work. But in addition to that, right, let's focus on centering around improving the work conditions, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what educator or, you know, teacher Joanna and teacher Hallie bring up every Wednesday with us on Educators Amplified is, hey, teachers are out there doing really great work, but they're also really, really trudging through it. I mean, it is not easy to do that good work. No, and I'm not saying it should be easy work. I think if we expose those conditions as rights, I mean, these are children's rights. They deserve access to a healthy, good education that's teaching them not only reading, writing, math, and the arts and the things you're adding on here, Tim, as essential. I agree with you. They're part of a whole education. But also, they're learning how much they matter to our country when they go in their school building. And if their school building is leaking, it's run down, all the people are dysregulated and unhealthy and struggling, they're learning very clearly that not only do they not matter, but the people who care about them don't matter. And so why care? And that indifference that we are teaching, like we're learning to be indifferent, is very dangerous. That is dangerous to the democratic value of popular sovereignty of we the people. Because we cannot become indifferent. And so we have to combat that. So I would have loved to have heard more on a more dedicated policy and action towards acknowledging human rights, children's rights. And Tim, I'm going to throw it in there. And I know it's a little bit controversial, but I got to throw big props out to all the people who exercised their democratic liberty, right, to show their disagreement with President Biden's stance on what's happening in Gaza. And so, you know, the whole show was delayed last night because of civic disobedience, peaceful protest, right? That said, hey, you better talk about this and you better have something to say. I didn't hear much. Didn't hear much at all. All right. And so remember, we the people are bearing witness to genocide wherever it is on the planet. It's close to home. And so, you know, I was discouraged because I thought, you know what? Maybe you'll say something, maybe you'll do something. And you know what? I was encouraged by the brave people who are saying something and who are doing something to say, come on, we have to not only bear witness, but put a stop to that injustice.
Yeah, and did you say human rights, children's rights, and again, anytime there's something like that, and recognizing, valuing too, civil disobedience. You say, you know, it's on our t-shirts. Howard Zinn said it. Civil disobedience is not our problem. Our problem is civil obedience. And yeah, you know, recognizing, pointing that out there, democratic core values that we've been talking about all week here. And we keep bringing this up. And in fact, we've got Julian Vasquez Highleg coming on next week to talk about more of those. Yeah, you know, and we've got Nancy Flanagan coming on the week after that to talk more about this. We just keep bringing this back. Alfie Cohn Monday. Civic virtues, though, man, bringing them up and realizing core democratic values. Jonah, you said one thing too, and I'm going to lead this in as we come into this break, getting ready for the last part of the segment. You talk about the conditions and the disrespect that is shown to the people in schools, and the things kids learn by observing what matters or by observing what doesn't matter. And the reality, you said, give teachers a raise. How about create the conditions where we don't have teachers quitting mid-year, and where we don't have high school students and people in the public saying, no, thank you, I'll never want to be a teacher, because you want to go after the third grade reading guarantee? You need teachers. You need passionate people. You need the conviction of those who make a decision to say, I'm going to go in and make a difference in the lives of kids, in the lives of families, in the lives of communities. When those people who made that decision realize that they can't do that work anymore, they leave the profession. That's why we have a teacher shortage. And I'm going to say it all the time. It's not a shortage. It's an exodus. Teachers are leaving the field. No one wants to become a teacher. You want a threat to democracy right there? You don't have teachers in your public schools. That's a huge threat to democracy. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Yeah, a little preview of the week ahead and, you know, a little bit more reflection when we get back.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
Well, you know what this is, Johnny. This is Tim from Busted Pencils listening to Rise Against on Busted Pencils. Yeah, we're the educated educators who talk education. Yeah, we talk punk rock too, and we love when Tim from Rise Against shows up. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You know, great callers in the first part of the show talking about President Biden's State of the Union. You know, I guess it's okay, but you know, if you're a cheerleader for public schools, it didn't really go out on much of an edge there and talk about anything that would be really going like, wow, he gets it. We were, though, talking about saying, you know, the fact calling for a raise for teachers. I think the best thing, you want to call for the conditions that promote teaching as a profession, that create people who want to stay in the profession, that create that, you know, recognize that when people make a decision to become teachers, the value. One thing that he made mention that could be really helpful is, yeah, let's go after the book banners. Because, you know, the problem with book banning, first of all, is, you know, this goes back to Ethan Siegel, the parents' rights. It's like you don't have the right to have all kids not learn things you don't like. And on book banning, boy, and any of the curriculum bans, critical race theory, all of this, history, science, I don't like it. It offends me. It makes me. No, those are actually, though, those are the conditions that drive teachers out of the classroom too, because when a teacher stands in front of a group of students with a sense of fear or of questioning, wondering, should I say slavery in the South was wrong, or do I have to somehow come up with some kind of a neutral position? No. There's no neutral position on slavery. There never was. There never will be. And the reality of people twisting, you know, book bans and curriculum bans and content censorship into some sense of people going, I don't know if I can teach truth anymore. No, BS, truth. But the ability to stand and deliver truth, That's one of the passionate things teachers do when they get into this profession. Feeling like they can't do that, it's contributing to the teacher shortage, Johnny.
Yeah, Tim, I like that you brought that up, because a few weeks ago we talked about, you know, the news break that 3/4 of the teachers in this country, you know, they hold back because they're teaching in fear. And that's not necessarily just like any particular political group. The same is true, I know, for example, college students. There's this big sort of myth that like universities are liberal, and if you have conservative views, they're not welcome on campuses or in class. But when we actually have polled and really looked closely at how students are experiencing campuses, one, it's sort of a myth that they're liberal. And then two, the idea is it's both liberal and conservative identifying students both have those concerns. They feel as though, you know, things are that controversy is not handled well in the classrooms, and therefore they're kind of just quiet about mm-hmm. stuff. They feel as though they can't exercise their voice, they can't express their voice, and this is never good for learning at all. And so I come back, instead of saying like that teachers should feel courageous to teach truth, I really do believe that. But beneath that statement, I think the real thing we'll all agree on, and it leads to this, is that teachers should feel courageous to have spaces where children of any age, because I'll kind of group our college students as children too.
Sure. Right?
Students of any age, people participating in learning, should be able to ask questions.
They should say, John, call them. They're learners.
They should be able to engage in the inquiry process, right? Mm-hmm. And so that means I could say, hey, I don't understand what's going on in Gaza. And we should be able to talk about it and learn about it without being in fear that it's going to have some kind of political repercussion on either our careers or how or what we're able to do the next day or the day after. The same thing should be true about asking questions about, you know, the conditions of our school, right? Hey, our school's run down. I went to a school in a different district to visit or for my, you know, my football game, and their facilities were fantastic. How come 5 minutes down the road, the facilities are fantastic, and here they're run down? They can ask that question,
sure,
and teachers can feel courageous and comfortable saying, let's figure out why school funding is unequal here, right? And they can do those sort of political discussions and model that there are truth. There is a body of knowledge out there that can give us a better sense of decision-making together. And so you brought it up. I think it's really important because book banning is a piece of that, right? I like to hear, let's call back the book banning. Let's call back the, you know, the rise against talking about, you know, American history with the actual historical sense of what happened. I will say the same thing about current events. And that isn't just in schools. That is also for journalistic integrity, for media across the board. We should not be working in fear.
Right.
We should be having the strength of a popular sovereign nation, because we are a democracy. And I'll tell you what, Tim, a threat to democracy anywhere is a threat to democracy everywhere.
There you go.
Wherever the injustice is happening, we have to be able to feel courageous and supported in doing something differently.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Johnny Lupinacci dropping some truth, teaching like he's been doing all week. Speaking of that, Johnny, here we are. End of Friday, though. Looking forward to next week. Gave a preview. Yeah, on Monday, you know, the schools our children deserve. Alfie Cohn. Yes, that guy, Alfie Cohn, who's been out there. He's been saying it for the longest time. Stop punishing me with rewards. Man, he's coming at, though, this cognitive load theory. That almost sounds like that could be banned. That sounds problematic, but it's not. Cognitive load theory, how that works. Educators Amplified, again on Wednesday, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna.
Our guy, JBH.
Our guy, Dr. Julian Vasquez Heilig, coming right off of testimony in front of Congress. In front of Congress, he was testifying about public schools. Yeah, we're going to have Julian Vasquez Heilig.
A champion of public education, man.
Your calls, too. Remember that. 855-752-4842 is the new number. Make sure you get it
next week.
Yeah,
find us on civic media, folks. Let's go.
Civic media, take the go on to Twitter, go on to YouTube, download that Civic Media app. If you missed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today's show, you don't have to miss it ever again. You just put that Civic Media app on your phone and you can get every Busted Pencil show. You can listen to all of them. You know what? You want to take a 9-hour drive? Just download all of the Busted Pencils. Enjoy yourself. Hey, I can't think of a better way to drive somewhere than listening to Tim and Johnny busting pencils and all the callers and all of our guests. It's Busted Pencils. Happy Friday, everybody. See you all on Monday.
Bye.